Hello, West Liberty. You are listening to WGLZ, where we are passionately vocal. I'm Caitlin. I'm sorry with all the technical issues. I'm still trying to figure this out. It's not that easy. I'm with Tony Summers, and he is a graduate of West Liberty University. And you may know him as the meteorologist for the Backyard Weather on 7 News. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Caitlin. It's great to be back on WGLZ. I was a DJ on the radio station from 1995 until I graduated in 1999. And also during the years of 1997, 98, and 99, I was the station manager. So if you were going to school with me back then, I would have been your boss.
I hope you were a good boss. Well, I hope you were a good boss back then.
Well, you should know whether I'm a good boss or not. We've worked together at John Marshall High School and when you were anchoring and doing other events for WJMH Media, so I think we got along just fine.
Yeah, I think we did get along just fine. Those were some good times, let me tell you.
They were.
Memorable moments. What made you decide to be a part of the media society?
I think I was born with it already in me. When I was 2 years old, my mother and grandmother thought perhaps I was deaf or couldn't hear very well because I wasn't really saying much. So my grandmother talked my mom into taking me to the doctor to get my hearing checked. And the doctor said, there isn't anything wrong with Tony's hearing. He just doesn't have anything to say right now. So he should start talking soon. My mom tells me that it was just a couple of weeks later that I awoke her by singing Jesus Loves Me in my crib. And so she came into my bedroom and she said, Tony, you can talk. And she said, I looked at her and just laughed at her. And the joke is, I haven't shut up ever since. Because of being a broadcaster, I'm talking all the time. So I think it was just born in me. But I also enjoyed watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as a kid. And once the television program was off the air, I would play my own Mr. Rogers in the basement of my house. And after a while, my father thought, if he's going to keep playing Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in the basement, let's build him a set. So I had my own Mr. Rogers set in the basement of my house. And at 4 years old, I was blessed enough to go to WQED in Pittsburgh, and I get to meet Mr. Rogers, and I get to tour the studio there and see them record an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And then once I tore down the set from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in my basement, I had a replica 7 News set in the basement of my house. And Frank O'Brien was a reporter anchor at Channel 7 at the time, and when I was in fifth grade, he came and did a story about my news setup in the basement of my house. So I have really liked being in the broadcasting industry ever since I can remember. My first microphones were my mom's turkey baster, my sister's jump rope. I would announce at church, and I would just do whatever I could to get to where I needed to be later in life, and that was a professional broadcaster.
Oh, that was so sweet. How old was you when you started your media journey?
Well, as I said, as a really young kid, I would do things in church. I would do things for the community. So anytime someone needed an announcer or a reporter or a DJ, I would do it at a young age. As a matter of fact, there was a garage fire up the alley from where I lived as a kid. And when I was probably 5 or 6 years old, as soon as I saw that the fire trucks were there, I grabbed my pretend microphone, and I ran up the alley, and I tried to interview one of the police officers. And he didn't really want to talk to a little kid with a plastic microphone, so a lot of the neighbors were mad at him at that point. But ever since I was young, it was just something that I always liked to do. And when I was 15 years old, I started my own DJ service. And so I would DJ school dances, wedding receptions, anniversary parties. And so it's just always been a part of my life.
I could relate to that, because when I was a little kid, I was always, like, going around trying to interview people, and I would always, like, sing on my grandma's porch. So I was, like, a very vocal person, too, and I think that's why I want to be a broadcaster when I graduate. So, I mean, and plus, I had you as a teacher and Miss McElhaney, so that really influenced me.
Well, you were a great student for both of us. I know Mrs. McElhaney had you more than I did, but I got to interact with you on live remotes and outside of school broadcasts, and it just takes a lot of practice, and that's what I've done all of my life, is I have practiced and practiced and practiced. I mentioned that I went to West Liberty University. It was West Virginia, or West Liberty State College back when I was there, but I commuted all 4 years, and I would spend a lot of my time in the car with a little notepad, and when things would pop into my head about projects and how I wanted to do them, that's when I would take those notes. I'd also talk to myself sometimes, going back and forth from school, practicing my radio show for that day or practicing my speech that day. So that drive time of about 45 minutes from where I lived, it served me well, and I was practicing all the time.
We'll be back with a short break on WGLZ Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo, and I love the fact that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. However, the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks is able to help provide over 3 billion meals to children and families in need all across the country. Join me in the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, we are back on WGLZ Radio. I'm Caitlin. So, we were talking to Tony Summers, and he was explaining how he started at a young age, and how he always wanted to be a broadcaster, and he was just going around interviewing people on, like, at his, like, there was a fire incident, and he was interviewing people. So, it was really interesting. Did you ever have any second thoughts about, like, being a broadcaster, or was you, like, definite?
That was always my goal. There was never a time that I thought, I might be something else in life. It was always broadcasting. I didn't think I would teach broadcasting, but that was a blessing, too, because I've gotten to work with tremendous students over the years. It's amazing what a 15, 16, 17, or 18-year-old kid can do, and I really loved teaching and seeing students have that aha moment of, yes, I can do this. I had a lot of students coming in at first saying, I'm not going to be able to do this. This is going to be too hard. But once they got into the program and they started working with the equipment and they started writing their news stories and interacting with people in the community, it's something that they fell in love with, too. And not every student that I had became a broadcaster, but they were better communicators once they took the program.
So, as we all probably, the viewers, know, that you are a meteorologist for WTRF. How long have you been working for WTRF?
This coming February, it will be 21 years that I have worked for WTRF. I was hired in February of 2000 to be the weekend weather anchor, and then I worked my way up, and then I was full-time for a while, and then I started teaching. But I do go back every summer for backyard weather, which this past summer was renamed Summers in the Backyard. Kind of play on words, my last name being Summers, but also it's summertime, so I really enjoy summers in the backyard because I love people, and so I'd like going to these people's backyards to meet them along with their families and get some of their history. And so I'm able to share their stories with the viewers on 7 News at 5 and 6 for 10 weeks every Wednesday in the summer, and it's very fulfilling. There aren't very many jobs where you get paid to go have a party in someone's backyard and eat free DeFelice Brothers pizza. I mean, you can't beat it.
No, you really can't. I mean, that's like literally the best job ever, I would think. How did you find your job at WTRF?
When I was hired at WTRF in February of 2000, I had already been working at Womp FM as either the evening or afternoon DJ. I was hired at Womp FM in 1997. It was July of that year. And I got the job through WGLZ because Chris Lee, who was my professor at the time, received a phone call from Johnny O, who was the program director at Womp FM, and said, I'm looking for someone who can do these certain things on the air, behind the scenes. Who do you have? And so Chris Lee recommended me, and then I went and applied for the job. I was hired on the spot, and I started, and I did evenings at Womp FM for a little while I was still full-time at West Liberty State College. So I was going to school during the day, and I was doing nights for Womp FM throughout my senior year. So after already working at Womp FM for 3 years, I made some connections, and the news director at the time at Channel 7 knew me, so I was able to transition into television. But there were probably about 8 months where I worked 7 days a week because I was full-time at Womp FM Monday through Friday, 40 hours, and then I worked Saturdays and Sundays at Channel 7, 16 hours. And so there were times that I worked nonstop, but I had to do that to get to where I wanted to be, and that was full-time at Channel 7.
What made you decide to be a meteorologist other than being a reporter or an anchor?
I really find weather fascinating, and I also like that during severe weather times, I can be the person who is warning people of the severe weather and helping to keep them safe. I interned at WTOV 9 my senior year of college, and Jeff Exline was just hired at that time. And so he and I became really good friends, and he helped me through my internship at Channel 9, and his passion for weather and my passion for weather really meshed well. And so it's just something about weather that's really interesting to me. And it's just that you can get on the air and you can make people happy when it's sunny, but you can also warn people when weather could be dangerous.
What do you suggest a person like me or anybody else who wants to get into broadcasting?
I would say never say no if it's something that you really want to do. Just as I mentioned, I worked more than 40 hours a week for about an 8-month period. Some people would say, that's way too much, I'm not willing to give up that kind of time. But in order to get the position that you want, sometimes you have to work more than 40 hours a week. Sometimes you have to work weekends. In broadcasting, you're working holidays. You're missing people's birthdays and anniversaries, but it's a very rewarding job, and it's something that I really, really enjoy. And through that work ethic, I was able to not only do Channel 7 as a meteorologist and Womp FM and Biggie as a DJ, but I used to ring announce professional wrestling, too. I would travel on the weekends, and I have even ring announced for WWE, Impact Wrestling. I wasn't full-time there, but they did give me the opportunity to do some ring announcing for them, and then Impact Wrestling, I also shot some of their behind-the-scenes videos for them one summer. So it's just that you have to have a very strong work ethic in order to make it in broadcasting.
So anybody who is battling stage fright or any kind of fright, what do you suggest them to do?
Preparation will help a lot. It takes a long time for someone to get to the point where they can ad-lib. Radio helped me a lot in learning how to ad-lib. But when I first started on Womp FM, I would take the music log that I knew was for the next day, home at night, and I would pre-plan all of my breaks Now, I wouldn't write things out word for word, but I would put bullet points together so I knew exactly what I wanted to talk about as soon as I turned on that microphone. And I want to thank Johnny O for having the for supporting me in that, because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have been able to start as early as I did while I was in college. But he also helped get me to where I needed to be while on the radio. So it's just a lot of preparation, because when you're not prepared, then your nerves start setting in and you're like, oh no, I don't even know what to say here. But once you become seasoned in ad-libbing, then it becomes a little bit easier, and then it becomes more conversational, and then it becomes just second nature.
Let's get back to the music, and we're on WGLZ Radio, where we are passionately vocal.
Hey, this is Jim Hazlett from the